What's up, you rich Mike? Give me a detailed...
Please enter your first message.
Yo, Mike, it's Telly Tuna. What's up, man? I'm just trying to catch up with you, man, so we can go ahead and get this song on the road, partner D. Call me back. Peace.
Stuck in a place so dark you can hardly see the manner of matter that splits with the words I breathe. And as the rain drips, acidic questions around me, I block out the sight of the powers that be and duck away into the darkness. Time's up, I wind up in a rusted world with eyes shut so tight that it blurs into the world of pretend. And the eyes ease open and it's dark again. Listen to the sound, dizzy from the ups and downs, and nauseated by the polluted rot that's all around. Watching the wheels of cars that pass, I look past to the last of the light and the long shadows it cast. A window grows, captures the eye, and cries out a yellow light as it passes me by. And a young shadowy figure sits in front of a box inside a building of rock with antennas on top now. Nothing can stop in this land of the pain. The sane lose not knowing they were part of the game. And while the insides change, the box stays the same. And the figure inside can bear anybody's name. The memories I keep are from a time like then. I put them on paper so I could come back to them. Someday I'm hoping to close my eyes and pretend that this crumpled up paper can be perfect again.
From the top to the bottom,
bottom to top, I stop
at the core of forgotten,
in the middle of my thoughts,
taken far from my safety.
The picture's there,
the memory won't escape me. I'm here at this point in talking, this ceremonial offerings dedicated to urban dysfunctional offspring.
What's happening?
City governments are eternally napping, trapped in gritty covenants causing urban collapse. And bullets that scar souls with dark holes get more than your car stoves. Some hearts be blacker than charcoal.
For real.
This society's deprivation depends not on our differences but the separation within. No reparation is made, limited aid and minimum wage. Living in a tenement cage, revenge isn't paid. Tragedy within a parade, the darkness overspreads like a permanent plague on the forgotten.
Hi, my name is Cindy Cohen, Legal Director of the Electronic Frontier Foundation. I'd like to thank Dual Parallel and the freaks and hackers of OldSchoolFreak.com for their donation, and to remind you that you're listening to Radio Freak America, Episode 53. Technology, privacy, freedom.
Son of a bitch. Damn, we got a lot to talk about tonight. We've been getting tons of feedback. I'm joined by Stank, who's in a great mood.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you can tell, and Mute.
What up?
Who is definitely in a good mood because he's got a new little baby.
Yep.
Congratulations. Okay, as I said, we've got tons of feedback here in Radio Freak America. And let's start out by clearing up Modelgate. Yes, the RFA spokesmodel caused lots of controversy. Lots and lots of controversy. We got lots of email, lots of posts on the Stank Dog forums. And like I've said, that RFA, Old School Freak, you know, everybody is a part of it. Everybody that contributes, everybody that listens, you're all a part of it. And I put my money where my mouth is. I listened, and I took down the spokesmodel. More people wanted it down. Not that they wanted it down. They just didn't feel like it belonged on the site. I received email from a lot of people, including DJ Mollusk, a.k.a. Michael, who was the creator. He said he didn't want it on the art section, so he was glad that I took it down. And actually, I forgot what he said. I actually lost that email, unfortunately, but I want to thank him for the model. You know, for really, you know, it kind of brought us together. Hot chicks with RFA on their chest really brought us together. And I'm glad that everybody got the message. I'm glad they got the joke, you know. But she's down. But don't worry, DJ Mollus, she will return. I don't know when, I don't know where, but she's not gone forever. And please, everybody, don't let me stop you from making a new RFA logo. I mean, you can tell by looking at my sorry GIMP skills that was created in GIMP and I did a long time ago that logo could be better. So please, feel free, send a logo in and we'll probably use it. Actually, we'll be talking more about logos at the end of the show. So that's Modelgate. You guys have any input?
Thank like hot chicks.
Yeah, I like that post afterwards. I'm with stupid. do you like her here or you like her gone?
It really doesn't make a difference because, I mean, I agree with some of the points saying like an image issue, like our personal, our image to the rest of the world. So
sure.
Having it up or down, eh.
Yeah, it wasn't that big a deal.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty cool. Infamous, and I can joke about it, you know, because it didn't bother me. But if it really was, you know, other people thought that it wasn't appropriate, it's not that big a deal. I mean, it's something so silly like that. There's a lot of other worse things going on in the world. So.
Well, exactly. And that's why we're calling it Modelgate. That's what we're talking about. It's actually more fun than anything. No, it's not a big deal. But it was really cool to see everybody come together and talk about things and tell us what they really think. You know, I really appreciate that. And please, I'm sure I say a lot of stupid stuff. I don't really care, but I'd like to hear from you.
And say nearly as much stupid stuff as Mute does.
Okay.
Both of you at the same time.
Dude, you got us. You got us. Is your mood better now, at least?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad beating on us makes you anything to make you feel better saying. Okay, like I said, I want to hear from you, and guess what? I have. People have been sending in lots of stuff. I've got some more stuff right now. This actually is really big, bigger than Modelgate, believe it or not. Occupant sent me an email. Actually, let me preface everything here. Let me tell a little story. Occupant and M4MS actually contacted us and told us that they were going to listen to Cindy Cohn speak somewhere in San Francisco. They hooked up and they went. And Occupant, apparently, he spoke to somebody, I'm assuming Cindy or somebody. Yeah, it's Cindy. And, well, let me just read this. Hello, Occupant. Hold on. Let me start here. I'll just read this this email. Hello, Occupant. Cindy forwarded me your email regarding donation acknowledgement. I recall the donation from RFA, but I believe that I had trouble making out who exactly to send recognition to. We did receive the donation and appreciate it very much. I will gladly send a proper thank you letter. Please let me know whom to address it to and a postal address to send it to, and I will make it so. Again, thank you for your support. Regards, Kevin McLaughlin, Membership Coordinator, Electronic Frontier Foundation. Thank you, Kevin, and thank you, Occupant. This means so much to me, you can't believe. And not for me, not that I want this letter, not that I want the recognition, but for everybody that donated. I mean, that meant a lot, not just to me, but to the EFF. You know, to these, you know, hackers who may not have a lot of money to actually, you know, throw out some jack for stickers that, you know, that I would give away for free. I do give away for free, but to a good cause. You know, $100, that I hope that makes a difference, you know? Like I said before, that's an hour of some lawyer's time. So thank you very much, Occupant, for getting them in touch with us. I'm reading, hold on one second, I'm reading what Occupant said. Okay, he looked at the video. This is from Occupant. I looked at the video of Abdul sending the money order. It was an Acme money order purchased from Albertson's Groceries and was made out to the amount of $100. So he actually watched the video and got info before he went and saw Cindy Cohen speak in San Francisco. So thank you very much. And again, you heard Cindy at the beginning of the show. I can't thank you guys enough, man. It's awesome. That's awesome.
If I can add something too.
Yeah, please.
It's not, you know, the fact that they recognized our donation is good. What I like about it is the fact that it's not them recognizing us that makes me feel all warm and fuzzy. It's the fact that we recognize them, and through us, and now bringing it up on the show and by talking about it on the site, it gives them recognition, because what they do for people like us is just, I can't even put into words how underappreciated they are, because they protect so much, and they fight for digital rights, and they fight for people who are wronged every day. And they're not the super high-paid lawyers like on, The Practice and L.A. Law and that kind of stuff. These are people who are doing the right thing because it's the right thing. And I acknowledge that, and I recognize them for that. And it's a very, very important thing that they do.
Yes, and it's important that we donate to them. It's important that we help them. They help more than just hackers and freaks out there. I mean, they're helping people that don't even know it, right? They're helping that guy down the road who bought a DVD and wants to back it up, because he's going to be on travel and doesn't want to ruin the one he just bought. You know, seriously, they are helping more people than just the hackers, the geeks, the people who love technology. So they're important. They're doing an important thing. And I do believe, though, that everybody that donated, not me, screw me, everybody else, damn it, they do deserve recognition, because that was selfless beyond belief. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Occupant. And thank you, EFF. I can't wait to get that letter. I'll see if I can scan it if it comes in, and or I'll just type it up and post it on the stickers page. So.
And we do still have that stickers page up with a list of people and everything on it. So.
Yeah, and he actually listed, Occupant listed all the people from C4 to Zapperlink that donated, so they know. And that's huge, man. That made me so happy. You can't believe how happy that made me. We've got more email, more feedback, lots. Actually, everybody, you've got to forgive me. I get a lot of feedback, a lot of email. Sometimes, DJ Mollusk, I lost his email. I don't know what happened to it. I try to get back to everybody I can. If I forget, please forgive me. If I can't read it on the show, again, forgive me. But I do my best. But I want to reiterate, I appreciate it. I love it. Stank loves it. Everybody does. You're sending an email to Old School Freak, contributes to the show, the scene, everything. So keep it coming, please. Keep the art coming. Keep the articles coming. Don't stop, please. Okay, let's move on. We got a lot to talk about tonight. I got so much stuff on my desk here. The next one, just read that. Oh, actually, is a letter. A letter, handwritten from M from S.
Handwritten letter?
Handwritten, dude. Yeah, dude's lead, man. This is the second one he sent me, so I really appreciate that. Duel, I am still listening and still learning. I finally got around to building a second system and have Red Hat 8.1 up and running right on. I don't know the ins and outs of Linux yet, but I like it so far and would have never done it without RFA. Included are a few articles I thought you might find interesting, either for the information or just plain entertainment. Also, a phone sticker that is on all the payphones in my neighborhood. Let me get that. Where'd it go? Oh, man. It's really cool. Okay, here it is. I'm going to talk about this for a second. Direct dial the world. Only $1. Marca directo al mundo. And it's got, let's see, Mexico City, Salvador, Guatemala, Hong Kong, Italy, Japan, Philippines, all these foreign countries, and their rates per minute. Let's see, for customer service, dial 1-866-674-6631. I love these little stickers they put on, little metal plates that they slap on phones. So I really appreciate that. Got a lot of different ones around here. A lot of my neighborhood have the Mexican flag on them. We have a, you know, we're so close to our southern brethren, so.
There you go.
We got neat stuff around here, man. We got some neat stuff. Cheap phone cards, too, man. Oh, I'm pretty lucky in that aspect. Okay. Could I give you a few, well, just one, possible topic for Radio Freak America? I would love to hear more, second page, about Wi-Fi cards, which work best, range and compatibility, and if the new 802.11a standard will have any effects on war driving. Hell, I just need more war driving talk in general. Once again, thanks for the great show and the inspiration and motivation that comes with it. M from S. Thank you, M from S. I've got some other things to talk about this letter. It was actually M, very, very special, this letter. Maybe I'll save it for the end of the show. If not, maybe next week. We'll see. But thank you for the letter. In response to that, not too long ago on the Stank Dog forums at stankdog.com, I started a Wi-Fi adapter database. And, you know, solicited input from everybody, and everybody sent it in, and we got a good list of cards and their descriptions, what OSs they work with, how they work with war driving, stuff like that. I grabbed that and made it a text file and put it on Old School Freak, and he saw that. He loved it, and that's exactly what he wanted, so I'm glad I could help you. I want to talk a lot more war driving. I haven't had the time to do any, you know, haven't had the time to research 11A or G, but we will. We'll definitely get to some more driving in the future. We've got a lot planned for RFA, so definitely stay tuned. The last correspondence I will read is from none other than Kleptic. Shouts to Outbreak. I'm sitting here listening to RFA 52, and yet again you've outdone yourself. I'm looking forward to the next episode. I just wanted to email you to thank you and all the RFA listeners for helping Outbreak Magazine and me while we were down. With no hesitation, you announced that we needed articles, and it greatly helped out. This is a spirit and unity that you just don't see that much anymore amongst the underground scene. I'm going to reread that. All right, everybody listen. This is a spirit and unity that you just don't see that much anymore amongst the underground scene. And it's a breath of fresh air that there is a group of people that have the heart and spirit of the hacking underground like it was back when I first started getting into BBSs back in the day. If you ever need any assistance with anything, let me know and I'll be happy to lend a hand. Feel free to read this email on the air. Of course I did, and thanks again, Kleptic, Outbreak Magazine. Wow. They get better and better. Every one just got better and better. It's unbelievable what I received this past week. I really, really enjoyed the last Outbreak. It was great. I mean,
it's some funny stuff. I mean, I like, I was actually waiting after I read, I think it was the first Outbreak I ever got, or it was one where they Buffer Overflow did his Perl introduction,
uh-huh.
And I would pour through the thing. I actually went through it immediately after I talked to him online, and was talking about actually fixing stuff in it, because it was like as soon as it sent out, I read it, and there was actually some errors, and I helped them with it, and we kind of checked it out.
Cool.
But the second one, finally got the second one, it's so awesome, because I want to really learn, I know some Perl, I really want to learn it bad.
Yeah, I'm dying to dive into that article because I love Perl. You can see a couple of my sorry-ass scripts on the text files page at Old School
Freak. I've seen them.
What's that?
I've seen them.
Oh, really? Yeah, so I'm dying to get into this one. I actually have a program on a right to help out the freaks in the world. Yeah, and that's exactly what Kleptic's talking about. You got in contact with, what's the name, Buffer Overflow? I'm sorry, I don't remember the author's name, but you got in contact with him. And you guys started talking, sharing information and knowledge. You know, no attitudes, just getting it done, having fun. That's totally what it's about. And I'm glad people like that are around. And I just spilled water on myself, by the way. Taking a drink. Okay, I think that's it.
The freak. Wait, what do you want to do? Me or freak news first?
The freak news is really short, so. Let me do that. We'll do the freak news. Actually, this is different freak news, or it's spelled differently tonight. It's going to be brief, and it's not freak, P-H-R-E-A-K. It's F-R-E-Q, like frequency. Waiting for that one to come out, too, by the way. So, the freak news. Let me key up my handheld rig. So, instead of the quarter tones, I'm going to key up the repeater. Let me see if this will work.
Wait, I got to get mine, too.
There we go. I'm going to do one more. Static, bad.
Give me some more.
Oh, damn it. Alright, hold on. There we go. Key up that repeater.
Want to hear mine?
Yeah.
Alright, let's see if it plays.
That's my 70 centimeter. You're on the 2 meter, right? Yeah.
442.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the freak news. I want to start out
putting in secret messages on the air, and people.
No, that's right. You're waking up the terrorist sleeper cells.
Yeah. Adam.
Okay, now first, I want to start with something that'll help people get into RF. If you don't have a scanner, you don't have a ham license. Well, go get one ham license first of all. But I've got some good technology at a good price that you can pick up and easily get you in RF. First of all, scanning is that's how I got into it. I got a scanner, started listening to the hams on the 2-meter net in the morning on the way to work, and I loved it so much I went and got my ham license. So scanners are a great way to get into RF. And I got my scanner. Hold on. That's like the worst. You know, hey, could you hold? That's like having a TV show and saying, just wait a second. I'm going to run off the set here and get something. Okay. I got my Pro 76, our Radio Shack Pro 76. I got it for like $90. Well, guess what? They've got another deal at Radio Shack right now. Almost as good. Just a little bit more expensive, but a lot more capabilities. It's a Radio Shack Pro 93 scanner.
Trunking?
It says dual channel. I don't know if it's trunking or not. I don't think so. I don't even know what dual channel means, to be honest with you. It's a Pro 93, catalog number 20523. Look it up. Anybody have access right now?
Yeah, let me go to Radio Shack one second.
Yeah. Hey, the guy said dual channel, and it didn't sound right. It's probably dual trunking.
All right, let me go Radio Shack.
It probably does Motorola and Ericsson trunks.
See, I have what's commonly referred to as the redneck scanner.
The race scanner.
Right, so what's
the Pro 89, I think it is.
It means it has all those, doesn't have all the preset frequencies.
The race scanner does?
Because that's the, it's the easiest to use. It's kind of noobified, so you can take to the track and you can program in the car numbers and stuff and the frequencies used to it, and then you can scan through them. But it has a lot of other bands on it as well, but it's commonly referred to as that. In the circles, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, it actually says race scanner on it. It's marketed specifically to NASCAR fans. They can go and listen to the pit crews, you know, on their scanner in the stands. That one, I believe, goes from 29 to 512, just like mine. Mine's the same range.
What's the part number on this one?
20-523. It's the Pro 93. It's 300 channels. I don't know if it's trunking. I got this information over the phone. I just saw it briefly. And I said, whoa, that'd be good for the freak FREQ news. So it's, and here's the deal. It goes from like 29 megahertz to like 1.8 or 9 gigahertz, right? It's got great range, and it's only $120. It's $119.97. It's on clearance right now. So that is a great deal. It's a phenomenal deal. If you want to get into RF.
I have the PDF now.
You getting it now?
Yeah, let me go to the...
Mute's getting us the info right now. Let us know if it's...
It's trunking. It is trunking.
Sweet. So that's what the guy meant. It's dual trunking.
Operation tricks, two trunking systems, and conventional systems. Yeah, it got the Motorola. It got the popular trunking ones. It's got weather. It's got a lot of cool shit on it.
And it's probably... I know it's programmable. You can get... You can get rechargeable batteries for it. I'm sure it has a PC interface.
You got a cloning function. You got your scanner ranges from 25 to 1300 megahertz.
1.3 gigs. Okay.
Of course, with certain areas blocked.
Cellular.
Well, you know, don't worry. You can find it. Don't worry.
Yeah, mods.dk. Well,
that too, and there's nothing much in the cellular band anymore. You're looking at cordless phones, and you're looking at analog people that are dropping into analog if they're in a rural area. So
right,
you're not missing much.
Well, you don't know, and one way to find out, and great segue, thank you, Mute, is to go to a website called www.cityfreq.com. I'm sure a lot of people, anybody in RF, probably already knows about it, but if you don't, you're getting into it, go check it out, cityfreq.com. FREQ.com, find your city, and look at all the frequencies. And I bet you will, from that page, be able to use all the bands of the Pro 93. The Pro 93 is a great deal. If you if this is your first foray into RF, I highly recommend this. Radio Shack actually makes really most of their stuff. I've heard a couple of bad things about a couple of pieces. Everything I bought, it's been great. Actually, I'm very pleased with my Pro 76. Very pleased. It's rough. It's tough, you know. I've dropped it. It still works. It does a great job. So I'm happy with it. I would assume the Pro 93 is made with the same quality. So highly recommended. Actually, that's the freak news. Unless you got something mute. Unless you have anything, that's the freak news. You got any RF stuff?
No.
Okay. Whoa. I think we're getting some bad vox. All right. Let me key out here.
Came and went before or after I did a while ago. I was in there, I guess I got off the yard about 1300.
We're listening to people on the 70 centimeter net here.
About 1500. I was supposed to have been there at 12, but they didn't have anything going on, and I called Margaret and got me set up on this one here about 12:30 or so.
Okay, that's enough of that. All right, that was the freak news. Very good. Yeah.
I just bust out there talking about the weather because we're supposed to have like 12 inches today. We had like 2 because of the wind. And I'm like, snow days, and then at 3 o'clock in the morning, denied.
If, dude, you got it, you can't count on a snow day if you're up all night hacking, dude.
I can never.
Yeah.
Never count snow days anymore.
Well, I know why you're up really late, by the way.
Oh, okay, well.
Why were you up late?
Segway! I actually had another, I thought of another one. I had one, I gotta remember it. It sounded a lot like Segway. Snow day! Yeah, that's what it was. So,
why do you want a snow day? Because you got a new
iBook.
Hell yeah! Running what?
What is it? It's 800 megahertz G3 power PC. Yeah. What else? 256 megs of RAM. Let me think. Crap.
What OS?
What? Of course, OS X 10.2.4.
Ooh, very nice.
Yeah. So.
Let's start. Why don't you start with the hardware? How does it build? How does it look? How does it feel?
It looks awesome.
Is it white? Is it silver?
It's all right. The front is white. It's got the little apple.
Right.
Little tail. What else we got? There's when you open it up, there's two tiny little speakers. You got a big the screen. It's 14 inches, but it looks bigger when you actually see it.
Cool.
Because there's less border than like a Windows laptop.
Yeah.
It looks nice. Power button, keyboard, one big, you know, the Mac's always with the one big button and the touchpad. So you gotta get used to that because you can't touch the pad. And then the bottom, you know, there's a battery slot, everything. So it's pretty cool.
Did you get the DVD? What'd you get on it?
Oh, I got the DVD. I got the basically it's the $1,500 one, which has a DVD and CD burner. So not DVD burner. That's with the PowerBook. And total $1,500. Then we bought some other stuff. Like I think they threw a printer in, but you got to return that because the printer was crap. Get another one. And then what else? They also had.
Are you talking into the phone, by the way?
Yeah. What?
Are you talking into the phone?
I'm talking into the phone.
Okay, yeah, your sound changed kind of.
I did? Oh, okay, well, there we go.
Now, tell us about the OS.
Okay, the OS X is, well, all of them have been Unix. So, basically.
BSD, right?
Oh, yeah, it's BSD. It's like the Mach, as an M-A-C-H kernel that have been pretty popular. So. That's always been, but I like it because it's not Linux. I mean, it's not Linux. It's not what I really went to this because it looks a hell of a lot better than Windows. Because everything is pretty. It's not like Windows. It's like big blue bar at the top. Every step. It looks a lot more like XP.
Hmm.
But I like it because there's a lot more cool stuff in it. I mean, I just love, you know, having like a, basically, I'll tell you about the screen and what you see on the desktop. If you've ever used a Mac, it's basically the same stuff. It looks a little bit cooler. They have a, at the bottom, they have basically what can be considered a toolbar. But it's called,
launcher or something, isn't it?
It's called a dock.
Dock, there we go.
Yeah, and then what else they got? And then from there, you just launch programs, but also you hold programs there as well, so you can have basically quick start stuff.
Okay, tell me right now, how do I get a shell? When I'm at CompUSA, messing with their 22-inch, you know, studio display, how do I frickin' get a shell?
Okay, the easiest way is, there is a if it's not in the dock,
right?
There is, if you go into it's in applications, utilities, and then terminal.
Okay.
Terminal is what you got. If, I don't think most they do. They shouldn't have it locked down. I haven't checked. I've really tested it out. If it has a if it's accessible with a normal user account, it should be. I think it's a Unix system. If you fire it up, it's just Unix, and then you get the Unix prompt and everything. It just tells you welcome to Darwin, and do whatever you want. Doesn't come with much. You got to be aware that it's just you. When you get into the, I mean, I haven't really messed with the, like, I've always done Linux. It's always come with the stuff I need. So you're gonna be installing, if you want like GCC, you're gonna be downloading. It's like 300 megs. It's the Apple OS X Developers Kit, and that was 300 megs and expanded to a gig.
Whoa!
It has a lot of stuff I don't need, which I'm kind of mad at, because it has, like, it's a bunch of stuff I don't need, and I only wanted GCC. But GCC did work with what I wanted to compile and everything, so that was good.
Good.
They have a lot of ports. It's called, there's a site, I don't know the site, but I know it's called Fink, F-I-N-K. If you search for Fink online, you'll find, it's basically, they ported Linux and Linux-based stuff like x86 code, like Nmap, they ported it for this.
Ooh, nice.
All you do is you install Fink, and then you install, you want the packages. They have so much stuff. Like, I haven't really gone through it, but I've seen a lot of stuff I would like to use. And all you do is install Fink and then install the packages. And all you do is do Nmaps, and Nmap works beautifully.
Very nice.
You're not root. You root on the box, which automatically, it comes disabled. You can't log into it. You only log into the user accounts. There is ways to unlock root, but there's no real point, because all you do is sudo in to whatever command you want to do. So sudo in the command. If you've ever done sudo before, basically what it does is you do sudo and then whatever command, and if it's a command you can't run, but root can run, then what you do is, it's not root, you can run as any other person.
Right.
You're making it root, but for our purposes, you're doing root. And then I'll make you enter your password for the account you're logged into, and if you have sudo privileges, you can run it. So it's pretty cool. And then I run Nmap scans. It works. I mean, there's almost no difference than what I've seen on a Linux box. So
very nice.
But very happy. Let me think. What else can I talk about?
I definitely want to hear about the war driving capabilities.
War driving capabilities. I bought along with the laptop itself, I bought the Apple Airport card. They're just their airport, the AO2.11B equivalent.
Do you know what chipset it is?
It's theirs, probably. I mean, I have no idea.
Okay.
It must be. I think it's probably proprietary Apple stuff.
Sure.
The funny thing is, it's the only card. I believe it's the only card you can get, because how it mounts is, you gotta unplug everything and everything, and then you eject the keyboard, and then you slide it in under the keyboard, and then there's room for more RAM and stuff there as well. It's really easy to add stuff.
Cool.
But the cool thing is about the card, instead of paying like $100, it's like 80. It's 80 flat for a very fully functional 802.11b card. So I like that a lot. We got it. I fired it up. Funny thing is, the neighbors next door already had a AP set up. So I got the internet pretty quick. And then I plugged mine in, and I had it whipped everything together, and it was all good.
Go back. So the neighbors just moved in, right? Set up an AP.
Yeah.
You fire up your Mac, your new iBook.
Yeah, I fire it up in the back. I'm setting it up, actually, like, putting all the little, configuring it, put the card in. And as soon as I fire it up, they have a little thing at the top of the menu, which has important stuff like sound control, time, and everything. And then he had this little kind of pie-shaped looking thing, and then it had two bars on it going up and looked like a radar thing. And I click it, and I'm already on someone's the network. It was actually her neighbor's last name was the network.
Oh, lovely. That's good.
Well, I was like, oh, great.
Yeah. It's our social security number.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, everybody, that's a lesson to you.
But yeah, WEP.
Yeah, no doubt.
Or Mac filter. Use it.
You know, and how can they go and bust Dr. Sousa, right, for showing them that they're vulnerable when you don't even have to try?
Almost. Actually, it was automatic. So, it's actually you're violating without even... You consciously doing it, you're violating. You're actually violating
the
law.
I say that's bull. I say that's total bullshit. If you're sitting in your house, you turn on your computer with a wireless card, and they happen to have an access point that's wide open, you totally, utterly, accidentally hopped on it. Tough, man.
Well, that's their signal intruding into your property,
into your home.
I mean, what are you supposed to do to stop it? There's nothing...
Right.
You're not doing anything to intentionally, accidentally, like you said. If anything, blame Mac. Mac intercepted the signal, not you.
No kidding. Okay. All right.
We're going to get into part 15 bullshit. No. Let's continue with the Mac. what's cool about it was there's tons and tons of apps. For war driving, basically. They don't work they work equivalent to your net stumblers and your kids. Basically, I'm using equivalents now. I haven't used the other one, so I can't tell if they're better or worse. But what I'm using is one program called KizMac, and another one called Mac Stumbler. KizMac is actually they're both like KizMac, KizMet, and Mac Stumbler, Net Stumbler. Like both equivalents, basically. KizMac, basically, there's two programs. One is a driver you have to load. It's their own development driver that they wrote just for KizMac to enable certain abilities of the card. And then you fire that up, and then it's all very, very detailed. You know, you get what clients are authenticated with it. You get if it's cracked. Actually, it does come with its own cracking program. If you get enough weak keys, you can crack it if it has WEP. So that's built in. That's like the first war driving cracking program built in I've seen.
That's nice.
That's shipped with that?
No, it's not shipped with it. Of course, no. I downloaded it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But they're included in one program.
Which is let me just jot off for a second here. They do have something that's extremely funny that I found because a friend of mine brought his PowerBook 17-inch. You know, if you know the that is a very expensive notebook. Anyways, he fired up and he was showing me stuff on it. They actually have network tools built in. Guess what network tool Apple includes with their new computers?
What?
Port scanner.
Really?
Yeah, they have port scanner. They have port scanning, ping.
Ping, I could see. Ping, traceroute, stuff like that.
Traceroute. Who is? Okay, I can fire it up right now and tell you.
Wow, that's very nice.
Yeah. Let me think. Here we got. All right, we got info. You got a netstat, a ping, a lookup, a traceroute, a who is, a finger, and a port scan.
Very nice.
Yeah, so you get all that stuff for free, built in. I thought that was pretty cool. And then, so I go back to what we were talking about before. The KizMac, it's very nice. You can it's a lot of usability in it. But the thing is that you have to go back to your old driver to actually use your airport card again like normal. So you got to stop the old driver and then the new one fires up. But sometimes it can get a little funky, and then you got to reboot the whole computer because. It gave an explanation. It was like kernel modules get messed up, and then you get a reboot. So it's not a big worry. But there are ways inside of these programs to really screw up your system. But I'll get back into fixing it later. The other program, Mac Stumbler, that's like your bare bones like Net Stumbler. Basically, it's only looking for broadcast packets. So, but KizMac is looking for any packet that it sees it can recognize as network. It will give you. Since it's not broadcasting, like I had my AP not broadcasting, it couldn't find its name. It only knew it existed, and it knew what hosts were, what the MAC addresses were for the hosts that were using it, but it didn't know its name. It was really funny when I saw a blank thing come up. Anyways, the MAC Stumbler, it basically just turned it on, and then it actually sweeps through all the different channels the card can do, and then just goes. Which I like is actually kind of cool because It just, you can find near ones nearby that are broadcasting.
So it's active versus passive.
Active, yeah, exactly. Active versus passive. So
you know, there are no. We've got some Windows war driving stuff, Wi-Fi articles, and Old School Freak. We've got some Linux articles. We don't have any Mac articles. Yes. Boy, I think it's I think it's a contestable market, my friend.
Yeah. So I use that, and I like there's pluses and minuses for both. I mean, you can see different networks that normally see. I like his Mac better because you get more info, but then there's also the task of firing up the new driver and then loading Kismac and everything. So there's pluses and minuses for both. I mean, Mac's always like the easiest to use, but also it actually is kind of weird because the card isn't like some of the other cards. It doesn't switch channels really that quickly, so you kind of get this stutter effect where since they're on different channels, you'll see it'll come up and then come down and go up and down and up. You'll see it come back up and back and forth. But it'll keep you'll keep it at the bottom, like logging it. So that's kind of cool. I mean, it keeps it going, like your highest signal strength on it, and just all the list of all of them. One program that I think it works with anything. It'll work with anything. Network interface, which some people might have heard of. It's called Etherpeg. Basically, what Etherpeg does is, so Mac only. I think they did some. There might be some ports. I'm not sure. I heard there was some ports. Basically, what Etherpeg does, it looks for GIF and JPEG packets, and if it has enough information, it will display those images.
That is cool.
If you're on a hub network or you're ARP spoofing on a switch network, since you're getting all the packets, you could fire up all the pictures. And I heard about it. I think it was the 2600 meeting after I got back from H2K2. A guy that was there at H2K2 that just was at the Chicago 2600 meeting said he had a friend that was using it, and he could see basically trends of people's viewing habits when they were watching a panel. Like, you'd start to see pictures come up with the sites that people were looking at, and then there'd start to be divergent people. Like, they would go use their like news and stuff, and then so people would start going into porn, and he said it was pretty funny. What else happened?
Yeah, basically, Etherpeg is for surfing other people's porn.
Yeah, there you go. That's a slogan I think they should have. and then I think it also does, like, it could pick up WAV files and download WAV files.
Oh, cool.
So there's tons of usability in that. So that's one really cool program that I found, and there's a bunch of stuff. I mean, I've already downloaded a bunch of. I've already really pimped it out with just different programs I'm using, like IRC clients and.
Cool, very cool.
I mean, hey, there's just so much stuff for it that if you just take the time, you're going to find, as long if you search for something and then you just include Mac in it, you'll find the program you need.
Cool. Well, two things. First of all, I believe, and I think I saw this on Slashdot, that Freshmeat now has an OS X section. So go to Slashdot, find the link there, or go to Freshmeat and look for the Mac OS X section.
There you go.
New source for your Mac OS X software. And next, I want you to talk about the built-in software. I've heard that Mac includes some actually really useful, maybe even powerful packages. Their Asterisk, right? Their whatever, iTunes, iMovie.
Basically, I'll call it iTools. Now they call it iLife. It used to be called iTool. iLife or iTools include software called, let me see right now. There's iTunes, which is your MP3 player and basic player, iPhoto, which is your pictures, iMovie, which is your movie editing suite, and then, was that four, did I just say four of them? One, two, three, three. iCalendar, which is a calendar program. And then, if you have a DVD burner, you get iDVD. Now, iTunes is really nice because you just put MP3s in there. If you put a CD, it'll just automatically import all the names and everything. It works really nice. What else? I haven't used iPhoto yet because I don't really have a digital camera. iCalendar, I'm not going to use at all. iMovie, I'm using right now actually editing some clips. And surprisingly enough, it is pretty usable. It is usable. I find it usable because you would think that just because it comes with it, it's really basic. But they got some really interesting features, like these title features, these special effects and stuff that you don't think are cool. That you wouldn't expect in this type of program. There are some problems with, like, if you want to edit the movie as in crop stuff out, it'd be kind of hard because you got to move these crop tools, these crop arrows over and crop out what you want. So there are some usability issues, but all in all the iTools rock.
Very
what
nice.
What I've used so far, like I've used like two, like three of the five.
Now what does iMovie export into? Does it?
Oh, that's the only bitch I have right now. It exports into either. Let me see what I have it here. If you want to put it to a file, it puts it into as a QuickTime file, which I don't like at all, because I need AVIs, and because they want to be proprietary and stuff, they're only going to put it out as a QuickTime. You can put it out as, I'm opening up the export window now.
Now, QuickTime, of course, is on Windows and Mac, and I believe, I don't know what package it is, but there is a Linux package that has QuickTime support.
Yeah, but it's just clunky.
Yeah.
It's just not.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it's just messy, and there's the principle there is I thought, you know, Apple was getting their shit together and going in the right direction with this. You know, Apple's always been the small fish in the big pond, and you know, Microsoft took off and took over with the PCs because Apple insisted on proprietary hardware all those years. They wouldn't let anyone else make a Mac. So they got blown out of the water when all the clone manufacturers and the Dells and the Compacts and stuff came up. So lately, I thought, you know, Apple was kind of taking a different approach, at least with the operating system and the software, basing it on Linux, basing it on BSD, and taking kind of some open source ideas and incorporating, you know, making some of this stuff available and getting some developers on it. But they've got to let go of these proprietary things like QuickTime.
I have to agree, especially in their tools that they're including with their notebooks. You know, if you can't go into an AVI, you know what? That might kill the deal for somebody.
It really will.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I totally agree. Now, Mute, I want you to give, I know this is, not an easy thing to do, but thumbs up or thumbs down, man. What do you think of it?
Right now, I love it. It just works. That's what I really wanted this, because I don't want to dick around with getting Windows. Like, you gotta really massage Windows until it really get it back again. Because every time I reinstall, it takes a few days. You know, you gotta get back into the kind of the groove, if you will.
Yeah.
Setting everything up, getting all your links ready and stuff. This, it's so easy to do everything. There's almost no hassle. It's what I love it. That's why.
That's what I've heard that. You know, I've heard that actually from a lot of, and I'm not being discriminatory, but from a lot of older people, they buy Macs, they use Macs almost exclusively, and I ask them, and they say, well, because it's easy. It everything works, and it's simple. So, boy, props to Apple for doing that. I mean, you're bringing in people that maybe wouldn't be using computers as much, if at all, because of its simplicity, because it, quote, just works. You did the switch, didn't you?
I did the switch.
You got to do the mute switch.
Ads. I can be on the ads.
That's right. I'm a hacker. I'm mute, and I'm a hacker.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I went to the Apple store, and I picked up this iBook. I was like, it's pretty cool because they had a port scanner built in. And it's like, yeah, I hopped on the neighbor's network and cracked their box. It's so cool. Thanks, Apple. I'm Wintermute, and I'm a hacker.
Oh, dude, that was it. You just made the commercial.
I should tape that.
Yeah, you should. We got to mix that down.
You guys don't realize it, but you just blew the opening to Hack TV.
No, you're lying.
I have to let it out. I two and I had a whole thing all ready to go, and.
Oh, dude, you got to fill us in.
I was going to surprise you guys with it, too. I told you I wanted something in there that you guys, you know, to surprise you a little bit.
Sorry, man.
We're
just too sharp, man. We're just too sharp.
We'll find something else. Don't worry.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, so, but that is pretty, well. Have you heard the MP3 of the textfiles.com guy?
No.
It's like Don. It's like the Apple Music. He's like, I'm not buying hard drives. 80 gig, 90 gig, 100 gig. What are you doing with all that space? Download some Quake beta you just stole. It's like, That's why I'm switching to ASCII text, because look at it. How it compresses. I'm switching to ASCII. It's like Steve whatever from textfiles.com.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Awesome. I'm going to get that.
Yeah, we should play that. It's just great.
Yeah, send it to me. I'll play that on the next show.
Yeah.
I want to talk about...
But yeah, let's close the iBook section. I give it the mute thumbs up seal of hack approval right now, because it just looks awesome. It runs Unix. I thought about putting Linux on it, but right now there's just too much stuff built in that I can just port over to do that to ruin it. So, and the hard drive is kind of small, but it's basically, you start off with 27 gigs, and after everything it's installed, it's about 22, and then you're going pretty steep from there if you're doing a video editing. So, you know, I'm just going to keep it how it is. I know there's ports for everything I need, so.
The thumbs up.
Switch the Mac, definitely.
Wow, it doesn't get any better than that. That is the mute seal of approval. I thank you very much for that wonderful review. I would actually love to have a Mac. I really want to play with OS X. Every time I go to CompUSA, I go straight for that big-ass 22-inch studio display and start messing around.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, and I'm jealous. I want to talk about my renewed passion for Linux. You know, I think, I don't know if it was last show or show before, I don't remember, I did a little review of Mandrake 9. Well, guess what? Mandrake 9, here's what happened. I was using Mandrake 9, trying it out, and it would crash. It would start crashing a lot. Every session, I would crash it. And I found out that it would happen, usually, I was using GNOME 2, it would happen when I'd run Nautilus, specifically. Sometimes not, but most of the time when I'd run Nautilus, anything GNOME 2, and it would crash. I mean, totally lock up, no virtual consoles, I couldn't kill X, nothing. So I said, man, this sucks ass, because I really want to use it. It looks like a good distro. So I ditched the GNOME 2. Or pardon me, I'm still using GNOME, but now I'm using ISWM as my window manager, and I am so happy. First of all, if you haven't used ISWM, it's a blast to configure. It's lightweight. It's fast. It's a lot of fun. And I've still got all the GNOME apps. And I have been so happy. I don't use Nautilus anymore. I use Midnight Commander, right, which I enjoy. I use IRSSI. I don't know if you pronounce it something different, but I use that from IRC. It's so much fun now. It's totally brought the passion back. I'm now doing everything except the show and streaming, recording the show and streaming the show on my Linux side. So thumbs up to Mandrake 9. Skip GNOME 2. You know, forget Nautilus. Use another window manager, window maker, ISWM, whatever you want. They include those. I think they include more. I'm not sure. But I am so happy. I'm so happy. I'll actually try to get a screenshot, because I've done a little customization, and it looks really cool. It's a lot of fun. It's fast. I can't say enough. Really, really brought the passion back. So I'm assuming just what the iBook did for you, mute.
That's great.
Yep, it is great. I want to talk. Well, Stank, did you want to give your story with Amoro right now?
I can.
You don't have to.
I should apologize for being in a bad mood on the show and taking it out on everybody.
Dude, never, dude. You don't have to apologize, man.
I'm gonna give a short little story time or something, I guess, if you want to call it that.
Okay, everybody, grab your favorite beverage and sit back.
Yeah, once upon a time, there was a little dog. It's not a dog you know, it's somebody else. some advice, because I know a lot of kids, I know a lot of young men, I should say, listen to the show, a lot of young women listen to the show, high school, college, you know. When you get into the real world and into the job market, just be careful. Be careful where you end up and how you handle yourself, because it's a different world and a different mentality out there sometimes, where you can be the most brilliant elite person in the world, but politics exists and you don't know and realize it until you see it. And I just want to give a warning to people that when you go somewhere, don't get caught up in political BS. I'll even control my language. Don't get caught up in the political BS. Go in And they people want, have this corporate mentality, and they want robots as employees. When you go out and get a job, find out early what the environment is like and what the people treat you like and how you're going to be or if you're going to be respected at that position and if you enjoy that position. And learn right away before you get caught up and spend five and a half years of your life at a company.
Like your friend.
Yourself. Yeah, like my friend Doug, who none of you know, and it's, you know. Like my friend who's been caught up in a position and is kind of tied up in a position where no one really appreciates the work that he does, and nobody, even though they...
Can't do it.
Even though they can't really... I mean, no one's irreplaceable, but it's tough to replace people, and you will not get appreciated. People will take credit for your work. People will put you down at any place, and frankly, in the workplace, be careful who you consider friends and who you consider, you know, people close to you, because when it comes to their jobs and when it comes to their livelihood and their well-being, they will roll over on you in a heartbeat.
That's very true. Now, I don't think, and I know this for a fact, you're not doing this to scare people, but
that's what I was getting ready to say. What the advice is to be careful and watch out for yourself and your own well-being, and don't let people trick you and manipulate you, and don't trust people too far. CYA is the catchphrase. Cover your ass. And that's Stank's advice. When you get out there, cover your ass so that if somebody accuses you of things or somebody puts you into a bad position, you can throw it right back at them and say, oh, no, I didn't.
Right. Now, this great story, thank you, Stank, by the way, and thank your friend.
And I apologize again on behalf of my friend.
Oh, well, hey, always accept
kind of down this week. And you know, next week you've got a great show lined up, and hopefully sometime soon I'll be, my friend will be over.
Well, Stank, always, man, unneeded and accepted, okay? Believe me, everything's cool. It brings up two things. First of all, the statement about politics, that's universal. That's everywhere and everything. Whenever you have any kind of organization, when you got two people, there are politics. Okay? So realize that. Study it, know it, and just like Stank said, be aware. Be careful. Second, Dan, what was the second thing? Oh,
don't lose your integrity. That's another thing, too.
Yeah, it was along that lines. I was going to say, try to do what you love, because that'll help. That'll help a lot. Of course, have integrity. Integrity is actually a very, very big part of that. But make sure you do what you love. Don't waste your life. Somebody told me, or I heard this somewhere, that if you do what you love, you know, you follow your heart. Maybe not follow your heart, but you do what you love, you will eventually make money. You know?
Absolutely. If you know what you're doing and you're talented, and I believe that will happen to my friend, hopefully, as well. But yes, do what you love, because you also have to find the right fit, and you will know it and you will feel it. When you find a job, find some place that you hope you can stay for a long time and work your way up through. And if it doesn't feel right to start with, you know, don't say, oh, maybe it'll get better, maybe it'll, you know, make a decision and dedicate yourself someplace, and it will pay off, and you will excel. If you have the talent and the dedication and the love for what you do, you will excel at it.
Right. And don't get down, because I know there are a lot of people out there, you know, a true man and a true woman will do what they have to do, right? And you may have to put up with the job for a while, but like Stank said, just stick with it, you know, make that path, think into the future, you know. Eastern thinking is, the first thing you do in life is die, right? I know exactly where I will pass away, what will happen, where I will be in standing in my life. So you must think in the future. You must actually, you know, I think a better way to view your life is backwards. Start at the first thing, which is you will pass away. You will. And where are you going to be and how are you going to get there? And that will give your path. Boy, that was pretty damn deep.
Yeah, well.
Thank you very much. Wow.
That's rare for me. That makes up maybe for the little joke on you and mute earlier.
I love that, man. That was actually really funny. And true, by the way. Mostly true. I've got, to end this show, I'm going to basically leave you with some teasers. That's right, teasers. No, not strip teasers, but show teasers. We're going to have, I talked about logos, the RFA logo. Well, guess what? We've got a new Old School Freak logo. It's going to be going up tonight. Brand new. I'm not going to tell you who did it, because that is actually part of one of the bigger surprises. We are going to have a super duper elite freak show coming up. I'm not going to tell you who. Definite elite freaks, definite information you're going to want to tune in for. I mean, this is stuff you can't find anywhere else, I guarantee it. Not off the hook, nowhere. So, and that's going to, it's in the near future. I don't know when yet, but definitely tune in for that. And next week is going to be a crazy awesome show. It's going to be so, so great. It's going to be myself, who cares, but myself, Meme, and Logan 5. That's right. Logan 5 and Meme on the same show next week. We're going to have a special, man, I don't know what to say. It's going to be art, technology, conspiracies, activism. It is going to be the most, you know, culture-jamming, mind-expanding show you've ever heard. I can't say enough about this. I'm excited. I'm so excited. I hope I just get to sit back and listen, man, and learn. So I hope you do the same. Guys, thanks a lot for a great show. I think we got the hour in. I got to start mixing like mad. There's like 20 minutes before the stream. I actually prefer this, by the way. It's much more exciting.
Yeah.
I can't thank you guys enough. Enjoy that iBook. Stank.
Oh, yeah.
Peace out. Peace to your friend. And to all you listeners, peace.
Later.
Later.